Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. A question came up for me. I was like, well, who created spirituality? Which I knew there was no person who did it. And both the research and various AI apps let me know that that was true. And it tried to sort of spell out the history of it. It's kind of interesting. You should go read about it. I wanted to see who created it. Like, what kind of people created? Because it's a creation, you know? I mean, if there's spirit here, it's already here. We didn't need to create spirituality or even religion to discover it. But somebody, somewhere, thought that it was important to, I think, create it as if it's something separate from our life and our relationships and the world. And it's not, to me, at all. An embodied realization is just sees the world as empty. There's nothing objective. In a sense, the world falls away. But the world that we experience was never real to begin with. It was a product of our unconsciousness. So naturally, an awakening experience shows you what they're referring to as spirit very directly in your experience. And when you embody that, you experience it in your relationships. It's not just in nature or in meditation, but you embody and live it. And at that stage, this is what we do with KI, it really stops being something separate than life itself. So when I look at it, it's a big split in consciousness that maybe needed to be created. We could just think of it this way. We don't really know because we can't interview the people. But you can imagine, though, that somebody somewhere was suffering, to keep it really simple, right? And they were suffering probably because of like pleasures of the flesh and desires. That's actually a part of the history of the word. Certain Christian theology and other traditions, there was like two ways of being. And one was like seeking after God or connection with the universe, nature. And then the other one was like the flesh and being a human, including all the things that go with that, sex. And there was even some sexism, you know, in the history of spirituality, where women and money were kind of all thought of as form in certain traditions, and form is kind of bad. Even though they might not have said it, they lived like that. That's well established by people like Ken Wilber, who's researched all that to help us understand that part of history in spirituality, which was sort of anti-woman and anti-money, and they were just kind of considered, you know, because it was run by men, of course. But when you do see the history, you can see that, I mean, we can't interview the people, but we know that people were suffering and they created these concepts and practices and then realizations happened. But you don't really, when you read the history, you don't see a lot of traditions that talk about really waking up in the midst of your life and relationship. Now, they are out there. I mean, think of teachers like Almas, and definitely some embodied teachings through the years have been really good about that. By and large, there's this split that was created, in my view, in history, where we just created this thing called spirituality to discover what we are. And then I think there's been this belief system in some traditions that we have to sort of discard the pleasures and those lower emotions, or just deal with them and kind of move beyond them. And I think that's the problem right there, that the split was created by trauma. If you can now think of it as a trauma, from a trauma perspective, people were suffering with trauma, so they had buried emotions, because we now know how suffering works because of the science. They had buried emotions. They couldn't feel and express something to their loved ones. They probably left their relationships to create this thing called spirituality, meditation, all the concepts that go with it. And it was an earnest, I imagine, pursuit for those people. But a lot of it seems to have happened outside of the context of, I mean, look at there are monasteries, there are all these places where you can go, and your wife and husband are not there. There may not even be a wife or husband. And I think what it does, spirituality can really attract people that are very disconnected. I mean, I was a loner growing up, so spirituality was perfect as a shelter for someone like me with an avoidant personality who didn't really want to connect with people. I was too terrified of being angry. So certainly, let me just speak for me. spirituality was like a trauma response for me. That I'm speaking for myself. You may have a problem with that characterization. I'm not here to try to convince you. I've seen it directly in people, but there's no use trying to convince anyone of anything because I can only just express what I've seen, and then you can decide for yourself. But for me, it was, I mean, it's quite literal. I left my relationships. I left 12-step. I was in a relationship when I found non-duality, but we weren't connected. And non-duality was kind of like a mistress on the side for me. Just like he had his own mistresses. And it allowed me to take shelter. That's what I sometimes call spirituality, is like a trauma shelter. It's like a place where we can go, but it's made up, where we can discover what we are, but we really don't have to deal with what's buried. I mean, that's, if you look at history, there's really, again, Ken Wilber's critique, there's just missing the practices and the context around emotional repression and trauma and shadows in a lot of the Eastern traditions. And frankly, a lot of the Western, if you look like Christianity, even mystic Christianity, I don't find a lot. So, I mean, what's my conclusion around all that? You can't generalize. You can't rewrite history and just, you know, I can't just make the claim that there were people who were driven by trauma. And I won't make that claim, but I will certainly ask you to look at it. If you do KI, you know how much emotional repression people have. It is no longer a mystery for you. If you haven't started KI, you may not know. And so people who are doing spiritual practice may not look like, you know, raging, like they're raging at the unconscious level, or they're deeply hurt. And so people are fooling each other in spirituality, teachers, students, everybody, regarding what's really buried. And I think, although I can't prove it, and so I know this will piss somebody off because they'll think I'm trying to make a claim, but I think it's my experience, at least, that the teachers that I know, they really don't talk about it. They talk about it, but they don't. And I was in that. And this is why I can talk about this, because I was completely in that whole sort of lineage of trauma that is a massive bypass. And I never questioned what I was doing. I never had reason to, because my teachers never questioned anything that they were doing with regard to repression. So it's just never questioned. It's just like in a family. Intergenerationally, something is never questioned. And, you know, trauma or other abuses keep going on, but nobody feels like they can, well, nobody wakes up out of it, or nobody feels comfortable speaking up about it. But that's how I see, now that we know so much about trauma, that's how I see spirituality as a trauma response for me. Is it for you? Here's what I would say, so you can discover it for yourself. I think that in order to discover the answer to that question for yourself, you have to make conscious the conditioning that's driving you. If you don't make it conscious, the actual trauma conditioning, then pretty much your answer is going to be a bamboozle to protect you. That's why I say it's like, I can't convince you, because if you haven't done the work, your mind will just seek and manage safety as I talk about this, and you might not hear what I'm saying, which is fine. I mean, you have every right to. But my God, if we now know what we know about trauma and emotional repression, in my view, in the spiritual traditions, we should be talking about it all the time, because it's what's driving things. See, we can call it something else, like resistance or unconsciousness, but we use these euphemisms that actually can hide it from us, that's buried emotion. There's really no reason that I've found to call it anything else, unless you just don't want to feel it, and then you just call it energy or something. But it's really specifically certain buried emotions that are driving us. So I just don't see that throughout history, is these traditions which talk about specific buried emotions and how they drive suffering. And then there's some recent science that says with trauma like that, you have to specifically neutralize it or it continues. Because it's a continuous buried trauma response of holding an emotion back. So that's just going to go on until it's specifically neutralized. You can't specifically neutralize it until you make it conscious, that particular emotion. So if you call it energy, or if you say it's just your life force, or it's just a contraction or a sensation, you can't specifically neutralize that trauma, so you stay in repression. I had to specifically work on anger repression to end my suffering. I couldn't do the general meditation and allowing it all, or this inquiry that's just safer than the buried stuff. At some point, if we are given the gift of enough suffering, we wake up out of all this. This using spirituality as a trauma response. I mean, if indeed you find yourself doing that, it's been the most important and the most helpful thing, because I feel connected more than that with the people that I love, and I feel and express what's true for me to them, and I'm not suffering, and I'm happy, and I'm joyful, and I'm at peace, and all that stuff that everybody seeks. But the way that I discovered it is by going to the place that nobody wants to go to. I mean, not nobody, but we're conditioned not to want to go here. I was just watching a video, and this is probably what partly inspired it. A teacher's video just popped up on my newsfeed, and I frankly block a lot of them, because it's not that I am offended by it. It's just that I've listened to that stuff for so long. The whole feel it all as oneness and all that stuff. Meanwhile, at home, you have complete disconnection from the people that you love, and you're holding yourself back and still believing deficiency stories, and trauma still running you. But this, you know, teacher comes up and talks about being in nature and how for him, which is my everyday experience too, but that's beside the point, that the sense of the trees and the sky and the ground are all me. But see, I would say you could get that in your motel fucking six motel room. You can just sit there, I'm the lamp, I'm the bed. Doesn't matter where you do that. The point is you still have, if you do, buried anger, hurt, sadness, and fear running you. So is that how you want to spend the time of your spiritual practice? Checking into an experience that really doesn't have anything to do with why you're suffering. The bed isn't creating your suffering, or the tree in nature. You didn't marry the tree. You weren't raised by the bed. The people that you're in relationship with and your parents are the reason that you're suffering, those relationships. So a spirituality becomes about disconnecting from those relationships and then somehow trying to end the suffering that was created in those relationships without considering those relationships in inquiry. It's just definitely a bypass. I mean, to me, that should seem crystal clear. But then even when we start doing relational work, we might not get to the root of things. And we might sit here and fumble about in things like, I'm unlovable. But of course you are, if you can't feel and express what's true. How could you be your authentic self? So I wouldn't mull about in like relational work that just makes you go back to that feeling of being not good enough or unlovable with people that you love, because that's there to protect you. So if you just mull about in that, processing that, then you still have the repression, but you might have less stories about yourself and relationship. But can you really open up yet? Can you really be yourself? Do you know what you want? Do you know what you don't want? Do you know how you feel about everything? Is it okay to be angry? To be afraid, hurt? Are you using spiritual practices to get rid of those feelings? That makes sense. Because, see, I've understood that so much better now. Why we are always trying to get rid of suffering? Because I think that what we're doing is we're disconnecting. The suffering gets created in relationship, and we have to disconnect from it, and now we have this suffering still. We can't just leave or disconnect the relationship, and then the suffering goes away. So we go somewhere to deal with that suffering. But it's real suffering. So it's just like my dog who sits and licks their wounds. Like, there is nothing wrong with wanting suffering to go away. I mean, are we asking human beings to do the equivalent of my dog having a wound and not being able to lick it? No, it's so natural. But once we understand that, you could say it in non-dual terms, there is nobody here that's broken to fix, and then focusing in all that then keeps us safe from the buried stuff, keeps us in a bypass. So we create this selfing thing, not only as a survival mechanism, as a separate human, but on the spiritual path that goes on as, you know, and then as just somebody who's seeking awakening or seeking healing, and then that seeking keeps that person safe from the buried stuff. But even, here's my point, even as we become finders, as I've said before, now we've recognized presence, if we haven't dealt with the buried emotions, we're still using spirituality as a trauma response. We're using spirituality as a trauma response until we make the trauma responses that are using spirituality like that conscious. Until then, those responses drive us. It's just basically fear. A fear of getting hurt, rejected, humiliated again like we have been in the past, and the fear of feeling and expressing whatever we've buried. And so many of us are defenseless, helpless, powerless in our suffering. And we cannot have that power until we go back to the people. We don't have to go back and like do like amends, but you bring those people into inquiry. And you go into how you can't feel and express what's true for you, so that actually your relationships start to shift, though. Because I think that some people want to do work outside of their relationship and then kind of just hope that it shifts the relationship. But if you don't get to the issues driving the stuff in relationship, it won't shift. And this is what I mean by focusing on just oneness or being. It's all good, but you still have trauma. So my question is, why aren't we turning towards the people that we've been in relationship with and processing the fact that we are disconnecting from them for those reasons? And then we never have to actually leave our relationship, or, I mean, we can always get space, of course, but we don't have to disconnect from the people that we love, even if it's just friends or whomever, just to have spirituality. See, that creates that massive division. If I have to go away, if my spirituality is over here and my relationships are over there, well, that's keeping me safe. And so spirituality is, again, just like a mistress that I'm not willing to go deep with if I'm not getting to the buried emotions. So many of these teachings, like mine, were just meeting people who were disconnecting and not dealing with the reason they were disconnecting. And so we couldn't help them in suffering if you don't get to the very reason for the separation. Because separation is disconnection. Disconnection is just that felt sense that you feel disconnected from people. And maybe even from your own body. Probably so. So when you come over to KI, we just deal straight with a sense of separation and disconnection of the body. We don't go into the places that you can use spirituality to stay safe in. Like, we don't just go process a bunch of identity when the identity is so much safer than the buried stuff. Because that's using spirituality, in my view, to just stay safe. It could be done very innocently and unknowingly, but still, it's still a bypass. Even if it upsets you or makes you feel ashamed, it's still a bypass. Don't believe me, because to believe me would be a bypass. To not check into your own body would be the same bypass. It's just an avoidant pattern for a lot of people. It's just avoiding what's buried and then trying to find freedom in this thing called spirituality, which is now separate from the very place that we experienced our suffering. It was born there. I've heard through the years a lot of people rightfully say that if we're going to have something called spirituality, it shouldn't be like therapy. So it shouldn't be about going back to do relational work. And I did research that aspect of it throughout history, because it really became something divorced from religion. At a certain point, spirituality, you can become interested in spirituality without having any ties to any major religion, even Buddhism, which is great because it now takes it out of that, you know, that realm even more, and makes it, I think, more closer to it being really practical. But we're still hiding and using that form of spirituality and the need to sort of, I'll explain this, to see ourselves as the universe or as nature or as, now let me say this about that. I 110% encourage everyone to explore that, because that's my experience of non-separation. What I'm saying is, you're not going to be able to live it and truly be free. It's just going to be an experience. And if you wake up, what I've seen is that people will use that awakening to stay safe in the buried stuff. So I'm like Paul Revere more than a teacher. I'm just like, everybody's rushing to heal and awaken, and I'm just like going, hold on a second. You have no idea what's coming if you do that, because you're not getting to the root. And you literally have no idea what's coming. I mean that literally. Because if you don't get to the root, you can't even see where your suffering is coming from or why it keeps coming. So how are you going to end it? And I don't buy this whole thing that only egos would want to end it. No, egos want it to keep going. If you're suffering, that just means your egoic conditioning is being successful. The egoic conditioning does not want to end suffering. It wants it to keep going. So we have to be really careful creating this thing called spirituality and believing that we actually want to be free. There may be this, of course, our true nature, yes. Like what we really are, it knows and desires and can wake up to itself. But see, trauma has us. And if we don't appreciate that trauma drives us, that we're driven for survival as a separate self, then we won't get to the thing that drives us. Because the spiritual stuff can be, along a spectrum, distracting, like really distracting or just slightly distracting. Let me explain. Like it can be really distracting from getting to the core stuff by with a lot of flowery language. You know, you've never heard that from me. Just the divine this or that, which just is good for the nervous system. It just makes us feel good and safe. But that doesn't end the suffering necessarily at all. So the flowery language I just don't like, because it's so distracting, and it's really distracting for anger repressors who don't want to deal with that dark buried stuff. And then there's at the other end of the spectrum, which is still a distraction, but it's more sly. It's like the teacher that I used to be, or you see some of them now. They've been around for a while and they're starting to open to vulnerability. It's a trend. But see, many of these teachers are anger repressors. They're still being fake. If they were honest with themselves, they would find that they can cry. That in relationship, they've had to process hurt. Many of them, if they were honest, as anger repressors. So when they say to their audience that we're going to be vulnerable, it's all about vulnerability or it's all about authenticity, is it? Because if you're an anger repressor, there's no way around that. You can't make an end run around that by saying we're going to be vulnerable now and say we're going to embody that vulnerability, because the anger repressor's vulnerability is fear of anger. And that might be most of it, actually. See, so there's a spectrum of distraction. And it's all run by the emotional repression. It just gets more sophisticated at that one end that doesn't use flowery language and that will even disown some spiritual language like I used to do, to kind of like, it's just very sly, but you can't see it. It's driven by repression. If you could see it, you wouldn't follow teachers who were taking you away from repression. You would never do that if you knew, but it's hard to tell, because if we say certain things, they're buzzwords. And if you have just enough insight and consciousness or education, then you're going to think, okay, this is the right path. But you could be being bamboozled like I used to do to people. Pulling people who were also, a lot of them, anger repressors into processing hurt and woundedness in relational triggers. I made practically a teaching out of that for years. See, I turned to my audience and I said, yeah, let's forget about non-duality. I'm just going to be vulnerable. And I started talking about the deficiency story and how it would pop up for me every now and then unlovable. That was a fucking bamboozle, because that unlovable story was driven by buried rage. So when I turned to you guys and said we're going to open to vulnerability, that was me trying to get your love and approval. And that's what those teachers are doing if they're anger repressors. But see, it can be the other side. There could be a hurt repressing teacher who just can't show any vulnerability and who might just talk about how, you know, the big awareness, because everything can be big for a hurt repressor who's afraid of being small. So you have, but how would you know along the spectrum that you're listening to somebody who's just terrified of vulnerable emotions, and that they phrase their realization in such a way that keeps them safe? If you don't see how we're bamboozling you and ourselves as teachers, you'll be taken over by it, because we can be really sophisticated with it. And this is how I think, my view, is one of the reasons how spirituality has stayed separate from life, is by these very sleight of hand teachers who pretend like we're bringing the two together. But we're not bringing the two together until you deal with the buried rage for your loved ones or your hurt or your fear. That's when we're bringing them together. The buried stuff is what drove us away from our people into the arms of the teacher or the new path. There's just no way around it. We can sit here and hem-haw and people-please and say all we want and say, be nice and don't say this and don't say that. But my God, there's so many people suffering. That's part of the fucking problem, is all the people-pleasing that keeps this spirituality thing alive, as if we can find ourselves here, but we can't, because we buried ourselves in our bodies. And the suffering is in our relationships. Am I the only one that sees this? Maybe everybody sees it, but maybe some of us don't want to see it. Maybe some of us, like me, I used to just want to have this spirituality mistress on the side, so I didn't have to fucking be with somebody that I was angry at, but I couldn't express it. Such a noble cause. It wasn't bad as a trauma response. It was certainly better than the painkillers before that, or the 12-step after that, as a disconnection, but it's still all disconnection. Maybe what Dan and I are doing is not even going to be welcome. I know that other people are doing it out there, but I want you to understand what we're doing. We're completely tearing down any wall between spirituality and your life, your relationships. There's just no wall there at all. And so that's not really spirituality. I can't speak for Dan, but he's not big on spirituality, really. He has a lot of issues with it because of what I'm talking about. So I think he might say that once we start dealing with the buried emotions, this is just about life and being yourself and being free and being real. And that includes everything. And if it doesn't, keep suffering until it does. Or we die. Whatever comes first. So what Dan and I created is something that I think you'll find doesn't look like something separate from the pain that you carry around because of the people that you've loved and that you've been afraid of really opening to, because you've been afraid of opening to yourself. But pulling away from them and opening to the space without opening to yourself fully won't work. To open fully to yourself, you have to open fully to yourself, which means the parts of yourself that you maybe wanted to not include, and maybe those parts for you created some division in your life between your relationships and spirituality. But remember, that's probably what you wanted. It might even be what you want right now. Probably is, if it's a trauma response. So I'll leave you with this. Dan and I have been really looking at like post-emotional repression teaching for us, because I can't speak for him, but I have zero interest in love or approval, so much so that I can get myself into trouble from time to time. At the same time, I'm happy, I'm free, I wouldn't want it any other way. I love life. I couldn't imagine being quiet about this. It would be ridiculous to do that, having been a teacher for so many years. and led people into such a bypass. But what we're aware of is how, like, we can't appeal to your need for safety. Well, we can by telling you that one of the two markers in KI is that you make sure that it regulates your system. So it's actually very safe. But when we talk about repression, it doesn't sound safe. And this is the kind of thing that I think drove people away from their relationships, buried emotions. So as we talk about it here in spirituality, which is where people came to get away from that, it's not always really receptive. You know, it's not received. Because it can threaten the very foundation of our entire spiritual path when we see, if we see, that it's a trauma response. But we're getting better at making sure that we explain, in case you haven't done this work yet, how your suffering actually comes from repression. That's not this podcast episode. This is me ranting about how spirituality and life really aren't separate, and that that's a major duality to me. But, I mean, it's a conventional duality. We created it for safety, like we create almost everything. But in the end, that has to go, or we can't embody the freedom. Thank you so much. Oh, and by the way, we get to embodying the freedom from the beginning here. Why wait for embodied freedom and authenticity? Unless you're just trying to stay safe with spirituality. You can take the test at repressiontest.com, and then you're automatically on our newsletter. You know what emotions you've buried, so we can start helping you understand the work that we do better. But if you're listening to this and you're just done with using spirituality in this way, come and work with us in either mentorship or the do-it-yourself course, which would be doing it yourself and not working with us. And those links are in the description for this podcast episode. Thank you for listening.